It's Monday, July 20th, 2026. Gas prices are up. Cyclospora continues to spread. Reforms are coming for small businesses. And goats help keep New York City safe from invasive plants. That's What's What today. I'm your host, Mia Barth. National average gas prices are back up to $4 a gallon because of the U.S.-Iran war. WFUV's Sienna Reinders spoke to some New Yorkers to see how the increase is affecting them.
If you fill up your car today, you might notice that gas prices are back to what they were a month ago. The national average is $4 a gallon for the first time since June 17th. In New York, the average price of gas is up to $4.15. Amara Kenne is a cab driver in New York City. He says he usually pays $40 to fill up his car, but now he's paying between $60 and $70. But he still charges riders the same fare.
I'm working as a cab driver. My fare never changed. Same fare that I used to pay when the gas was lower. And the gas is higher now. I'm paying the same money for the... It didn't make any difference for me. So if I have to take $200 home, and you take like 70 from that, so how much would I be taking? So my income is very, very affected.
Arizmendi Morel is also a New Yorker. He says the increased gas prices are a direct consequence of the war, and they're affecting people like himself.
Pero la gasolina sí es un poco complicado.
In Spanish, Morel says that gas prices are a problem for people like him who are retired, because his income doesn't go up, but his costs do. Americans first saw the price at the pump increase to $4 in March. It was a month after the U.S. first struck Iran. But in mid-June, prices went back down because of a tentative ceasefire deal. Now, President Donald Trump says the ceasefire is over, and renewed fighting and a U.S. naval blockade in the Strait of Hormuz have halted oil exports, causing gas prices to increase once again. I'm Sienna Reinders, WFUV News.
As Cyclospora, a tiny parasite infecting your small intestine, continues to spread, Connecticut Senator Richard Blumenthal is pressing the CDC for answers. WFUV's Talia Pearson has more on the rising cases and what's being done to stop it.
You might want to give your lettuce another rinse. The cyclosporiasis outbreak is affecting states across the Northeast. And Blumenthal says CDC's lack of reporting has made it harder to quickly warn the public.
It's the CDC that's on the line. No competence, no accountability, no confidence. A recipe for disaster in any food safety case.
Cases are starting to rise with more than 1,600 confirmed infections, according to the CDC. The most common symptoms include stomach pain and frequent bowel movements. While cyclospora cases have not been linked to lettuce in New York, the state has seen an increase in cases. New York has reported 374 cases, while Connecticut has reported 52.
I feel such a sense of urgency is that cyclospora will infect probably all 50 states by the time this crisis is done.
It's recommended you wash all lettuce and produce that you intend to use. Blumenthal is requesting a response from the CDC by the end of the month. Talia Pearson, WFUV News.
Opening and owning a small business in New York City may soon become easier. WFUV's Sonia Wellawitagoda reports on new reforms for business licensing.
Changes are coming to opening a small business. In a new program called Open, Mayor Zora Mamdani says it will now be easier to get licenses or permits.
As New Yorkers pursue their dreams across the five boroughs, we will also partner with them, support them, and make it easier for them to do what so many businesses have done in our city for generations, succeed.
Open, or overhauling procedures and expanding navigation, includes more than 50 reforms. Some updates include lowering how many licenses are needed to operate, prior notice of inspector visits, and physical copies of the small business's Bill of Rights. Mamdani says that these reforms were created after holding roundtables and surveys with small business owners throughout the five boroughs. Bronx Borough President Vanessa Gibson says that for too long, it's been hard to open a small business.
As elected leaders and this administration, we must do more to show up and remove those barriers and become a true partner to the small business community. We can't just talk about this work, but we have to show up in a real way and deliver for the small businesses of this city.
Open is a part of Mayor Mamdani's push for increased support to small businesses. Business owners can find more at the New York City Department of Consumer and Worker Protection's website. I'm Sonia Oluwadigoda, WFUV News.
Spain became World Cup champions yesterday in an exciting final match against Argentina. I talked to WFUV's Sam Giangrande about the game and the tournament overall. I started by talking with him about the finalists' performances in yesterday's game.
Well, obviously we saw who won yesterday, being Spain, but if we dive deeper into it, you'd see that ultimately Argentina had a very, very poor performance. And the first 90 minutes before it went to extra time, they didn't register a single shot at all in the game, which there's some people get confused by the definition of shot and shot on target. Argentina, they didn't have a single attempt where they tried to score a goal within 90 minutes. And then by the end of the 120, when it went to extra time, they were able to register two shots, but then nothing on target throughout the whole game. The only times we've ever seen this before was twice in a World Cup final. And it just goes to show Spain's utter dominance throughout the entire game, that they never let Argentina possess the ball for more than a couple of seconds without just getting stolen immediately.
And so how were both finalists' performances throughout the tournament leading up to this game?
Once again, with Spain, they only conceded one goal throughout the entire tournament, which is very rare. You almost never see a team concede such a little amount of goals. They were very cool and collective throughout the entirety of the tournament. And every single game they played after that opener looked like they are embarrassing their opponents on the field, just because their level of tactics and possession of the ball looked far beyond what anyone else could play against. But if you compare Spain's path to the final, they had Austria, Portugal, Belgium, Spain, Argentina. And then on the other end of it, Argentina had Cape Verde, Egypt, Switzerland, England, and then Spain in the final. So throughout the tournament, they didn't look too well and had a very lucky way of getting to the final.
What are your overall thoughts on the World Cup and it being hosted in the United States?
I thought it was great being in the U.S. I think we hadn't seen this level of passion, celebration, and unity, in my opinion, since 2014 in Brazil. We didn't see videos of people dancing and celebrating at 2 a.m. in Doha, or we didn't see that in Moscow, but we saw it here in the U.S. I think it showed a lot of people who aren't from the U.S., who've never been to the U.S., who had misconceptions about the U.S. and saw that there's so much hospitality here, and that how even in with Mexico and Canada, though they didn't get as many games as the U.S., it showed how North America as a whole in the western part of the world, how there's so much hospitality, how there's so much passion for the sport here, and that it brought so many people together.
That was WFUV Sports' Sam Giangrande. When you ask New Yorkers who the GOAT is, they'll probably say Jalen Brunson. But this past weekend, literal goats were in the city. Yes, like the farm animals. WFUV's Lainey Nguyen went to Riverside Park in Harlem, where the goats are playing a role in keeping the city's greenery healthy.
More than 1,000 fans and even a marching band are gathered for a heated competition. It's not the NBA Finals or the World Cup, but there are goats involved. It's a contest to see which goats can eat the most invasive plant species. Their names are Malamar, Big Buddy, and Romeo, and they're all roaming in a gated field of grass. Nancy Taubenslag came down from Yonkers to see the goats for a second year in a row.
It feels like a county fair to me, you know, that the small town, the people coming and rooting for their favorite animals. It's great.
Another fan, Sabrina Hernandez, is rooting for Romeo. She even made her own sign for him with his face adorned with ribbons.
I've always wanted to see these goats. I always heard about them, but I was like, I don't know where to find them. And now I know. And it's like, ah!
Yeah.
And while the goats are a joyful spectacle, they also play a vital role for the park. They're helping restore 7 acres of forest in West Harlem by eating invasive species in hard-to-reach areas. The project is run by the Riverside Park Conservancy. It's a nonprofit that works with New York City's Parks Agency to care for the green space along the Upper West Side. Harrison Nesbitt is the director of sustainability at the Conservancy.
Our whole job is how can we remove those invasive plants, save human labor, and I'll have them kind of do it in a really effective chemical-free way so that we can develop the site with beautiful native plants that help to support birds, insects, and everything else that we love in the city.
The park is nestled between the Henry Hudson Parkway in Harlem and the Hudson River. But for some fans, this takes them outside of the city. Fans like Carly Waits, who also made a sign for Romeo.
Well, I'm originally from Georgia, and I grew up on a farm with like over 20 goats. So I was like, it's so close to home, you know?
Fans flock to the competition in anticipation of who will win. And after a few minutes of chomping on leafy greens, and one goat even running off, a winner is crowned. And it's the returning champ, Malamar. The goats will soon head down to 137th Street in the park, where they will eat the weeds for 10 weeks. But beyond the restoration work, Nesbitt from the Conservancy says the goats also encourage New Yorkers to be curious.
We have nature in New York City, and we just want to provide an opportunity for people to see it and appreciate it and learn more about it in a way that invites community and everything else.
I'm Lainey Nguyen, WFUV News.
And that's our show for today. You can find more stories online at WFUVnews.org and on Instagram and TikTok at WFUVnews. Please follow and rate us on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. It really helps. If you have a tip or a question for us, send us a DM or email us at newsroom@WFUV.org. I'm your host and producer, Mia Barth. Our reporters today are Sienna Reinders, Talia Pearson, Sonia Wellawittagoda, Lainey Nguyen, and myself. Nathan Ray and Lainey Nguyen are our editors.